KFFB is 106.1 FM. This is Bob Connell. Thanks so much for joining us for day two of Compelling Case for NGV. From Chesapeake, we have Danny Games with us. And Danny, it is very compelling when you talk about natural gas cars, because we're sitting on the mother load, as a lot of people can claim it to be. I mean, you're all over north central Arkansas, from Searcy, north of Conway, Clinton, Fairfield Bay. I mean, we've got a lot of natural gas being pumped out of the area, and will be eventually when they get the infrastructure in. But we're looking at natural gas vehicles, and this is something that's not space age, huh?
Correct.
I mean, it sounds space age, doesn't it?
It does. Relatively speaking, we are so inclined to the combustion engine and unleaded and diesel vehicles. That's my father is 75 years old and worked for General Motors for 36 years and loves to get a little grease under his fingernails, and he knows that engine. Yet surprisingly, natural gas vehicles have been around since World War II. There are over 8 million vehicles nationwide, and the technology is really not much different than a standard combustion engine. It's really the primary difference is the fuel. In the case of being able to have an automobile run on natural gas, or in this case CNG, which is compressed natural gas, is taking the idea of taking gas out of the line that's either at the street or at a gas station and compressing it. It's compressed to 3,600 PSI. The cylinder that it's contained in is a steel cylinder encased in fiberglass. There are lines that run under the hood that actually depressurize it to some extent, inject it into the head of the engine, and that's the fuel. The engine does not know whether it's unleaded or whether it's natural gas that's being injected into the engine, but it's essentially the same mileage, essentially the same horsepower. The biggest difference is that it burns a lot cleaner, and then it costs a lot less.
And when it burns cleaner, does the engine will last longer, right?
Yeah, the wear and tear is much less running a vehicle on natural gas. There's a lot less carbon, one part carbon,
four parts hydrogen,
is the makeup and the chemistry of natural gas. And by virtue of that, there's very little detectable wear in the engine. I'm told that the life of an engine can be almost twice as long as a conventional.
And the biggest thing is getting it the infrastructure to the gas stations. And we're talking about fleet. The workshop's coming up next Thursday. We need to mention that because we mentioned it yesterday. Next Thursday, May the 14th. Tell us about this workshop and who needs to be at this workshop.
Yeah, the workshop, I would say, is most beneficial to those who run private or public fleets, school buses, transit buses, county fleets, even police cars, city utility vehicles, trash trucks. Anyone who's trying to manage a budget and is looking for a considerable cost savings and considerable improved maintenance cost stands to benefit greatly. The structure of the conference itself, the presenter is Steve Yabor. He's with Clean Vehicle Education Foundation, and he's basically going to break down the ABCs, speaking to the infrastructure, the mechanics, the cost, the incentives, and basically give someone a very well-rounded picture if they wanted to undertake a project in converting fleets and vehicles over to compressed natural gas.
When you look at the vehicle, like a school bus, they would have it on the ground at the yard,
right,
the school yard, and they would fill it up. How long does it, I mean, what? How big a tank is it? Is it about the same burning in the same space as a burner, gas burner?
Yeah, you get a gallon equivalent tank in terms of converting the amount of gas. It is a gas to what a liquid equivalent would be. When you look at the infrastructure that's required, for instance, it does require compression, it requires storage, and it requires a dispenser. We have a truck. We have a dual fuel Ford F-250. It runs on unleaded or it runs on compressed natural gas at the press of a button. There's no detectable difference, except that there again, at the pump, you're going to pay less, and over time, you're going to have a lot better emissions.
So if you're a fleet, if you have city yards, county yards, county judges should all be here. They've got all the heavy equipment they've got. School buses, if we've talked about, 40% savings.
Right.
If the when the infrastructure's coming, we know it's here.
Right.
It's not space age, and this is just a conversion kit?
Well, there are various aspects. Some vehicles are dedicated to already run on compressed natural gas. Others have to have an approved and certified conversion kit that is installed. There are several manufacturers, Baytech, BAF, FuelTech, IMCO. A lot of these companies were birthed, if you will, in California because they have so many higher emission standards. For instance, several cities over there, including Los Angeles, are under non-attainment designation because of poor air quality. Well, their entire bus fleet, 2,000 city transit buses, already run on natural gas. And you think about last summer, they were probably the cat's meow come budget time.
Yeah.
They were the only department that was smiling, I'm sure. But nonetheless, the transit buses clearly have a great opportunity. Trash trucks, school buses, police vehicles, even Chesapeake Energy pickup trucks, which obviously have put a lot of miles on those every year. We certainly have an opportunity to take advantage of some significant savings.
Then if you see this, though, it can go beyond. You can look at chicken houses eventually because we're sitting on the mother load. There's farms that's got chicken houses, and they've also got the wells popping up. So that will run their generators, will run the things that they already are using, that will come, and the farm tractors that they use to you can see this really blossoming.
Oh, yeah. Well, Arkansas, particularly in the tractor market, everyone will look at you and say, well, we've been running ours on propane for years. Very, very similar technology, but even methane gas has some advantages over that. But, yeah, as for the farmer in Arkansas, particularly for those who have their mineral rights, there's a whole lot of upside.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's give it one more time. Compelling case for the NGV, natural gas vehicles. Let's give the website.
ArkansasEnergy.org. ArkansasEnergy.org. There's a link on there. They can get the agenda. They can get registration information. Thursday, May 14th at the Association of Arkansas Counties, downtown Little Rock. And I think it's going to be a time and money well spent.
Well, we sure do appreciate Danny Games from Chesapeake. Thank you so much for talking with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Bob.
And they go to KFFB.com, click on the open mic button, and they will get to hear this and share it and download it and send it to people that may be interested.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Bob.